Podcast initiating in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to episode 11 of the Trollbox Podcast. Today I have Dylan Avery with me. How's it going, man?
It's going good, man. How are you doing?
Great, man. Yeah, Bitcoin's recovering, it looks like. There was a bit of a dump, or as I would like to classify it, a potential bear trap earlier this week.
Yeah. You could say that. You could call it several things.
Yeah, but now we're sitting pretty at about 2,600. That's, you know, that's respectable. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, anytime it's an all-time high, just be aware, be afraid. Essentially,
yeah,
be afraid.
Yeah, there's a lot of resistance around the 3,000 mark, which makes sense. I mean, that's a pretty good place to sell, I would like to say, if you don't want to hold, which, you know, kind of it's inhibiting Bitcoin from reaching that 5K, 10K mark, but I feel like that's still down the road.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have orders stacked up at like 3 grand and beyond, so it's going to take a while. Yeah. unless another country adopts it as a currency, or there's another like major developer, you know, if SegWit is finally activated, then yeah, we might see 4 and 5. But yeah, I think for now 3 is going to be the new normal. But I mean, it gets, yeah. What do any of us know at this point about what the new normal is, or what just normal is, period? I mean, it's like, it's weird. Like, I remember it touching a grand and like, woo, up from 250, up from 250, and now, you know, up 1,000% from there. It's just, it's insane. 1,000x.
Yeah, it's crazy. I remember seeing Bitcoins going for under $200 a couple years ago, and woo. I wish I had thrown everything I had at it at that point.
Should I just use that as the opportunity to tell my regretful Bitcoin story? Because it seems like everybody has one.
Please do.
Yeah. It would have been – it was either 2010 or 2011, because I was driving across the country, and I have a buddy in Denver that I usually visit with when I do that. If I really looked into it, I could figure it out. But it was definitely 10 or 11. And he had a pretty popular website that he was running at the time. And he had a script that was running in the background. So whenever anyone was scrolling through his site, and there was a lot to scroll through, there was a script that was mining Bitcoin in the background using the visitor's computer. So whenever you could have run a script off of a website to mine Bitcoin with your visitor's computers is when this conversation would have happened. But I was in his basement, and he was kind of tinkering with it and was showing it to me. He's like, hey, man, check this out. Like, you know, I got this thing running on my site where I'm basically getting free money from all my visitors. I was like, what is it? And he's like, yeah, it's Bitcoin. It's really cool. And I was fascinated by it, and it was really cool. But I kicked myself for not taking the extra couple minutes and being like, so how do I get some Bitcoin? Because I could have either, you know, done the same thing myself with websites I was running at the time, or I could have just bought some. And I mean, at that point, if you had, you know, we all know the math, but that just, I was standing right there at that point in history when I could have bought an insane amount of Bitcoin and would still have it to this day. But then, of course, my life wouldn't have gone the way it had gone. And, you know, I wouldn't have met the girlfriend that I had now, probably. So it's all good. But, you know, I, along with several others, had that opportunity to buy some and didn't. And then, you know, a buddy came over in October 2015. The same friend who had introduced it to my friend in Denver, and was like, hey, have you, you know, heard about Bitcoin lately? It's starting to come back. And, you know, he popped open Coinbase and sent some to me and my buddy, and, you know, like, you know, just that's really all it takes. I mean, that's the same thing I've been doing, is just you send like a friend like a small amount, and they're just hooked. They just like, they love checking it and just seeing the value go up. So it's cool, man. It's really cool. I don't think I've ever quite seen anything like it, except for the internet itself.
Yeah, it's crazy. I have more and more friends coming out of the woodwork and like asking me like, so what's up with this Bitcoin? You know, I know you've been you know, into it for a while, and now they're looking into it. Even my boss asked me about Bitcoin. She actually asked me about IOTA coin.
Really?
I was like,
stay far away.
I was like, I'm not gonna like tell you one way or another, but if you see a dip and you feel strong about it, I mean, do whatever you want. But I told her she's better off diversifying, because with the amount of coins having pumps here and there, and natural value growth. I mean, I really believe that some of these coins are reaching new standard levels of value. I really think Verge, again, we talked about them tons last week, but we'll bring them up again as an example. I really feel like they're a coin that's really worth around the level that they are now, you know, based on their supply and everything and their tech. So, yeah. You're seeing coins like that going from a lower valuation to potentially a new standard. Could just be that the market's like a honeypot right now, but it's either way, it's still good to diversify and get a couple different projects going in your portfolio. Yeah.
And I mean, lately for me, with my investments in, like, you know, pulling out of other coin, you know, pulling out of one coin or pulling profits out of one and putting it in another, I'm really like asking myself which of these are going to be around in a couple years and which of these do I see not being in the top 100 a couple years from now. I mean, because people are doing it now with coins that were in the top 100 years ago and none of them are still around. So for me it's about coins with like the serious potential for lasting tech, and coins like Stratus that I can stake, or tokens, I'm sorry, like Stratus that I can stake. You know, that's really important to me because that's something that not only is going to continue to go up in value, but if I get enough of it, I can get more for free. So that's obviously an incentive as well. And, you know, I see that a lot of developers are considering proof of stake over proof of work now, just in terms of like energy efficiency and other ways to generate new currency without having to rely on, you know, so much power. And you know, Burst is a great example too. That's something that I really should get more into because it's super easy to just get a hard drive and hook it up. You know, so it's cool. It's all just so damn cool. And yeah, you know, you talked about it a bunch last week, and we just talked about it a bit more. But yeah, I'm really excited for Verge because they have just kind of come out of nowhere, and they've got a pretty exciting roadmap. Not come out of nowhere, but I mean, again, like when I got it back in November, I looked a little bit into it, and I was like, oh, this seems interesting. But, you know, there obviously wasn't nearly as much information about the project out there is now. And then obviously when this recent bull run happened, the devs were super active on Bitcoin Talk, and they got an IRC chat. Sunarak was not only on your podcast, but then he did another interview that popped up yesterday. Yeah, so it's great to see devs like out there and active and on the boards and in the IRC chat and doing interviews. It's like, it's nice to know that there's like an actual person behind this new economy that's sprouting up, and not just like, you know, it's reassuring. If nothing else.
Yeah, and it helps when they're cool, like Sunarak, too. He's such a cool dude.
Yeah, that helps. Yeah. That helps. I mean, I gotta say, like, that podcast really helped because, you know, again, I was already on board with Verge, but then after hearing him talk about the project and just his knowledge on the subject in general, I felt even better about my investment. I was like, all right, this is in good hands.
Yeah, so. For sure. It helps when devs are personable. There's been, you know, some devs out there that people think are a little bit like rude and stuff, and when you have a guy that's just like, or girl, who's just like cool and down to talk and knows their stuff, it's always a lot better than you know, having the uncertainty of dealing with somebody who's just a little bit off.
Yeah, and I was really trying to organize a trip up to the Bay Area as a starting point for a potential documentary about this stuff.
Cool.
But I could not get anyone to agree to an interview. Ripple said no, and Charlie Lee stopped writing back to me, which is fine. I know he was dealing with like leaving Coinbase, and you know, he's got a lot to do with Litecoin. But
yeah,
my Bay Area trip to interview people was a bust. So I'm actually supposed to hit the East Coast in the next month or so. So I might use that opportunity to try to find some people out there. I know there's one in Boston. I don't remember offhand where PivX is located, or for that matter, Sunarak. But I don't know. It's just we're in such a fascinating time. And for me personally, not even, you know, obviously it'd be great for the film to be out there, but it would just be really awesome to just kind of capture this magical moment in time right before, you know, the financial system potentially transforms completely. Yeah. So I'm going to keep pushing and keep reaching out to people, but my, like I said, my Bay Area attempt was a no-go, but, you know, things have a habit of working out for the best, so,
yeah. It's kind of hard to get people. I mean, I've struggled with it for the podcast, but, it's surprising, actually, kind of, that people didn't want to be part of that, up in the Bay Area.
Yeah, I don't know. It could just be I didn't reach out to the right people, so that's why I got to keep asking more companies.
That's true.
Where is Stratus?
That's a good question.
I thought I knew that offhand. I probably did at one point. I reached out to a bunch of people, so it eventually all just kind of blurred together.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. We'll see.
They're in London. There you go. That's why. So I would have to get on over to London.
Mm-hmm. You know, it might be kind of a good idea if you're on the East Coast to go to the Bitcoin Center in New York.
Yeah, and that was my other first step, is to try to get to a conference. I mean, obviously, if I could have gone to Consensus, that would have been great. But that couldn't happen, obviously, for a number of reasons. But yeah, apart from individual interview requests and trying to, you know, talk to developers, my dog's drinking water in the background. But yeah, apart from talking to developers, the first step for me is going to a conference and just any kind of public meetup, any things that are happening, any kind of event. I mean, you can obviously only make so much of a film out of sit-down interviews. So any kind of things going on up and down the East Coast or across the country, or maybe when I get back to California, something will go on. But yeah, you know, you got to get what you can when you can. But, you know, for now, I'm just happy to be observing it and to be a very, very, very small part of it. It's just exciting. It's super exciting.
Yeah, it's very exciting. The whole thing is exciting. I mean, it's been exciting since pretty much I started into it. There was a little bit of a lull for a little while, a lot of just ICO after ICO after ICO after ICO, and it kind of feels like that's kind of happening again in these times, but that's because the value's there.
Yeah.
There's reason for people to try it out.
Absolutely. I apologize if you've covered this before, but how exactly did you get into this?
I don't think I actually have discussed it. Well, actually, yeah, a little bit.
What have you not discussed?
I didn't really go through the whole way, but I, back in around 2009 or so, I had a friend who was into Bitcoin and he was using it online for like buying different things. I don't know exactly what those things were, but
so Silk Road then.
Maybe.
I'm just kidding.
Well, it could have been.
Hey, I'm not judging, man.
Yeah, but he told me about the tech, and it got me interested. By the time I was able to, you know, get some money together to get into it, it was a little bit high for, you know, what I was looking for. So I felt like I was never going to be able to have like a full Bitcoin. And then, this is a couple of years later after he told me about it. And, I was on Reddit and, I saw an ad for Dogecoin and I was like, oh, what's this? And I was like, oh, it's like worth a lot less than Bitcoin. Maybe I could get in this way. And plus, who doesn't love a good Doge meme? I mean,
oh, of course.
Yeah, right?
They're all solid. All Doge memes, solid 10-10.
Yeah.
I actually, not to cut you off, but I just recently learned that the developer of Doge was an employee at Adobe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jackson. I didn't know nearly as much about Doge as I probably should have, but that was fascinating to me.
Yeah.
And then kind of the whole community split, and then, you know, the rumblings of it coming back, and I don't know. It's really interesting to me, like the ebb and flow of movements and communities. I'm sorry, I said I wasn't going to cut you off.
No, it's all good. Yeah, I'm still waiting to hear back from him. I mean, initially he said that he'd be interested in being on here, but he hasn't replied to me. But hopefully he does eventually, and we get him on here.
You read my mind on that. I thought he would be a really good guest because I actually would love to hear more from him.
Yeah, he's a cool dude. He's got a lot. He's probably got a lot to say too. Especially about coming back and whatnot.
Yeah, there's got to be a reason.
Yeah.
But apart from the fact that it's, you know, the market cap just shot up.
Yeah. That's got to help.
Certainly.
Well, also the tip bot got kind of taken over. Well, not taken over. The person who made it drained some funds from it, and
didn't
work quite as so that's incentive.
I had heard people mention that, but yeah, it was when that article came out that I really dove into the history of it. I was like, oh yeah, shit, no wonder the guy walked away. That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. It was there's a lot of turmoil in the community at the time, revolving around different ways that the coin was going to go. It's cool because although there's some people in the community with like different views and stuff, they're all still very tight, and it's cool. Like I'm one of the moderators on the Reddit. Basically in the beginning, I was just, when I was like super gung ho and new to cryptocurrency, I was like absorbing information and just like I would be on the front lines refreshing the new page and like trying to answer as many questions as I can, and then eventually they asked me if I wanted to be a mod, and went from there. Yeah. It's been a while since I've actually been active as a mod, but I mean, that's mostly because I don't have a job anymore where I can just be on Reddit all day.
It's probably for the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, dude, it's funny, the Trollbox, like, yeah, I guess now I'm part of the esteemed club of people that got to use Poloniex's Trollbox where it got shut down.
Oh, I didn't know it got shut down. What?
Yeah, it got shut down. They had to, I mean, due to their extreme scaling issues, they've reassigned their Trollbox staff to just support.
Oh, no.
I know. It's a weird feeling to not see the Trollbox on Poloniex.
Yeah. What the heck?
Wah, wah.
I'm going to miss seeing people get banhammered and
that place was a nut house.
If you think that's a nut house, check out Yobit's Trollbox.
Trust me, every time I'm on there, I usually am on Yobit for about a minute or two, maybe just to see if any sell orders went off, and that's it.
Yeah, that's
I'm in and out.
Yeah, one of mine actually popped. I had a million of a coin, and it sold at one Satoshi, but there was no, there were no buy orders for it for a long time.
Yeah.
And I was like, shoot, I might have taken a loss, but I'll take a million Satoshis.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. And that's exactly it. Like, you just got to set it and forget it and just see what happens.
Yeah,
I mean, and actually, like there was one, like the nodes pump. I saw that one coming because I saw all the volume, like all the accumulation, and the price didn't go anywhere. And I bought like a very small amount, and I wound up making like 30-40 bucks. I was like, man, again, one of those shoulda coulda moments where you like, but who cares? Whatever. Yeah. You know? Like we're all doing so well in this market. I mean, like, and that's the other thing too. It's like it becomes really easy to see how rich people become greedy. Like to see, like, it's like, yeah, sure, I have five figures in crypto, but you know what's even cooler than five figures? It's six figures. You know, it's like the Social Network quote. It's just like, sure, a million is cool, but a billion's even cooler. And I mean, yeah, sure, you have a billion, but maybe a trillion. And that's, you know, we're calling for $1 trillion market cap on cryptocurrency. And it's like, it's absurd. It is just absurd to think of how far it's come versus how far it has yet to go and what the potential of that is. It's, I hate to be redundant, but it's just so damn fascinating.
It really is. No, it is. Yeah. It's, it really feels like you're a part of something that's just like about to just go batshit crazy. Like, and just like we're a generation of people who, just jumped on the right thing at the right time, you know?
Yeah. And it's nice. It's nice to be able to say that you were kind of there. You know, it's like being part of the gold rush.
Yeah. You know, like, exactly.
Yeah. Being able to say that you're more like one of the first people that got to California. I mean, obviously none of those people are around anymore, I don't think, but,
it does feel like a gold rush. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, the question is, at what point do we hit the end of the gold rush when a whole bunch of people who packed up their lives and sold everything to come out to California and got out here to realize there's no more gold? So that is obviously the point that – but I still don't think we're anywhere near that point because, you know, again, a lot of coins haven't even – and tokens haven't even hit, like, the last mark on their roadmap. So, you know, I think for all intents and purposes, we're still just getting started, but that doesn't mean that there aren't a couple bear markets on the horizon. I mean,
yeah,
it looked like we were entering one there for a bit and then broke out, and now it looks like we might be entering another. It's just you know, the calls change every single day, you know, just like every time that you think you have a handle on it, it does something different.
Mm-hmm. A couple weeks ago, I was in a chat, and somebody said that some of their technical analysis friends were saying that it's going to crash down to like 1500. They said that was going to happen like a week ago, but it didn't quite happen as badly, but there was a bit of a downtrend.
Yeah, there was a massive one. I think it touched like 1900, I think. Maybe.
Oh, really? I didn't see it go below.
And maybe at its absolute lowest on Poloniex, I think. I think that was the chart I was watching at the time. Okay. It was brief, like for maybe like a minute, but it definitely hit it.
Yeah, people get scared, and that's another thing, because with a bunch of new money coming into Bitcoin and stuff, and other cryptos, when the avalanche starts, you know, people just kind of pile on and just sell down, especially if they're newer, because they don't have the experience with holding and the patience. That's another thing I was telling my boss the other day, who was asking. I was like, you know what, even if it's like looks like you're going to lose your value, if you're in the right coins, you're going to make your money back if you're patient enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So,
and I mean, it's Warren Buffett's classic advice, like, you know, not verbatim, but, you know, smart investing is, you know, transferring money from the impatient to the patient.
Yeah.
And, you know, when everyone's selling, you buy, and when everyone's buying, you sell. It's like, it's so basic at its root, but I mean, like, it's really easy to get emotional, and that's when mistakes are made. Yeah. So.
You just have to be a robot that just looks at the numbers and can make impulse decisions. not to sell, but, you know, to jump on at the right time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And you also have to think about, you know, the right time to sell, because, I mean, I put an order for a Dash at 7,000 the other day. I sold it, and now it's up over that. But, I mean, I still made a considerable profit on that anyway, but you know, if I had held out, you know, it could have been higher, but it's timing and patience and
and it's tough too, because for me, I usually, when I do something like that, I try to take it and reinvest it. So like that's where my Verge investment came from, is selling, you know, scalping something and then buying other things with it. So, but you know, so it's like, would I rather have had that, you know, that BTC that I made on that trade? Or would I rather have the exponential value of that coin versus would I be glad with my bag of Verge right now? And obviously, I'm happier with my bag of Verge.
Yeah.
So it's tough, because it really just depends on what you do with it, I guess. You know, if you're selling just to sell and to hold on to the Bitcoin, then, you know, hopefully you have a plan for that Bitcoin, like put it in lending or something. But or, you know, like, is it reinvest it? But yeah, if you're just selling to sell, then yeah, there's a much easier chance of regret down the line when you're like, oh wow, shit, look what, you know, like LBC, look what that just did.
Yeah,
you know, I still have a pile of that, but not nearly as much as I had, you know, like that I bought in like August 2016. Mm-hmm. That I wish I still had. Well, actually, no, that's because we were just coming off a bull trend. I say we, I shouldn't say we, because the market was just coming off of the bull trend when I came in. So I bought a lot of stuff, and then the value kept going down, and I didn't panic or freak out. A couple things I might have sold here and there, but LBC is one of those where if I had just completely held on to my initial investment and not touched it, I would be back above and far higher than I am right now. But again, but then what would happen with all the things that I bought with the money that I sold LBC for? So it's just, you just got to try and keep catching those trains. And then, because the way I look at it is like, if something else takes off, then I can buy back more of those other things that I sold.
Mm-hmm.
So if, of course, it's always that giant if.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a fun ride. It's a little bit scary at times, but, you know, it seems like, you know what you're doing, and as long as you have an idea of what you're doing, you can really capitalize on those. I like I don't claim to be, you know, any kind of like expert or anything, but I mean, when I moved out to California a couple years ago, like I've said on several other episodes, I pretty much thinned out my coin folio to nothing, with the exception of like a wallet full of Shadow, I think. Just about that. That was pretty much it, but I wasn't looking to sell that anytime soon. Right. I was just staking and stuff, and yeah, I built it back up over the last couple of years, and I think what happened is when I stopped like day trading, that's when I started to actually grow my investment. So I mean, you could definitely make money on day trading, but when I just sat back and let things happen and just watch, buy the right coins, which isn't always easy to, you know, weed out, but
no,
it's you see the trends and you see over time, you know, which coins are, you know, you just kind of get a feel for it, and then good things happen.
Yeah, that's the best way to put it. It really just kind of, you just have to get intuitive with it.
Yeah,
which is a weird thing to say, but and you know, you say about not wanting to look like an expert. I mean, people are starting to tweet at me and like, hey, what coins are you looking at? And I don't even want to respond because, like,
yeah,
I don't want the vets to think I'm like trying to muscle in on their territory, and I also don't want people to take my advice because I'm, you know, I'm just getting into this shit. And it's like, look, I'm just in this because I'm passionate about it. You might want to ask other people for targets, and then they do, and then they get fucking trolled. So
because I mean, it's really hard to find people in this area that you know, give solid advice that doesn't have any, you know, self-serving bias to it, or they're trolling straight up.
Which, I mean, I can understand to a degree. I mean, nobody wants to give out trade secrets. And right. I mean, there's people that give out a lot of tips if you know where to look. I mean, the whole reason I bought Stratus was a tip on Twitter. And I mean, I should have bought way more than I did. Mm-hmm. I think it might have even been the Bitcoin dude that turned me onto that.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, just the right tips here and there and following up on it. And like, again, is this something that's going to be around in 5 years? You know, right. And the answer with Stratus is almost definitely yes, you know, and like will only, I think, continue to appreciate in value. Maybe I'm cursing it by saying so, but it's one of those things that I, looking at it, especially on the long term scale, like is something that has only gone up. So it's just a question of, you know, how much of your portfolio, and, you know, just diversify, obviously. Yeah. You know, never go all in on anything. Unless you have some kind of inside knowledge, but even then, I still would only go like 75-25.
Yeah.
just in case.
Yep. Yeah. So. It's never a good idea to really just like throw everything at one coin. Yeah, like you said, unless you know something that others might not. But even then, that can backfire too.
Right.
Even if, you know, the markets don't always react how you expect them to.
No.
They can be kind of predictable sometimes. Like if you see like a dip on a coin that's an obvious dump or shakeout or something, then it's pretty easy to, you know, see that's a good coin to throw into your bag. But yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. And because I hear I should get on CryptoPing, because I hear there's some really solid notifications coming from there. I should probably get more into that.
Okay, I'll check that out too.
Yeah, but it's been the same for me, especially in these last couple months. I mean, my watching my block folio explode has simply come from just bags that I've been sitting on.
Yeah.
Again, it comes back to that, well, but without day trading, you don't have accumulation of other coins, etc. Mm-hmm. So it's tricky.
Yeah. So since you said that you don't like to give out real like tips or anything, I'm gonna put you on the spot and ask what coins would you recommend?
It's funny, I was about to ask you the same question. I don't know, that's tricky. Obviously Verge is a big one I'm banking on right now, not only because I'm invested in it, also because they're implementing serious technology that I think is going to be very useful in the future. They got smart contracts coming, all kinds of stuff. So there's obviously that. Man, again, Stratus, just because it's a thing that people are using and will continue to use, and to me it's more about infrastructure at this point than just simply a currency. So there's that. Obviously, PIVX is great. If I had a giant pile of money, I would you know, be able to stake some, so that would be great. Let me see what else. I'm staring at BitGrail right now and can't help but notice that Ryblox is finally doing something. Ryblox?
Ryblox, XRP. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It it was on Cryptopia for a bit, and then I guess the community had a bad reputation with sending out death threats, so they got delisted. Hopefully they've ironed out those issues. I have not seen these death threats, which isn't to say they didn't exist. I don't know the full history of what's gone down with them, but that seems to be the main pushback on Twitter against it, is people saying, yeah, well, what about what happened on Cryptopia? So if the community has managed to smooth that out, which maybe they have, because the price has gone up from 1,000 that I bought at to right now it's 6825. I'm seeing rumors of a potential Bittrex ad, which if that happens, obviously, you know, to the sky with this. Ryblox is interesting because I guess it's generated by solving captchas. but then someone else pointed out that puts a heavy load on exchanges, which could be one reason why it's being held back. Again, that's something that the experts are far more versed on than I am. But that's what I've read. But I think it's pretty cool because BitGrail is an exchange that was created by the developers of Ryblox. So.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the case anyway. So pretty cool that these guys just went out and made their own exchange. And now the coin's doing really good. I mean, 53% in 24 hours. So see what happens. Apart from that, let me see. I mean, LBC, you know, they got that big release coming up on the 22nd. So, I mean, if anyone's looking for a good time to buy, I do believe it would be now because I think it's kind of settled a little bit. Because what is that? Yeah, it's 4 days from now.
Yeah.
Surprise, Poinex is taking a couple seconds to load. There you go.
Yeah.
Man, where's the listings, man? Like, Poinex used to be such a playground.
Yeah. Yeah, right?
It's I don't know.
It's kind of taken the fun out of itself a little bit, but I still keep some on there. I'm mostly on Bittrex now, but you know, I like to use different exchanges as well. I used to always just trade on Poloniex, and
yeah, they definitely lost a bunch of people. But I'm sure if they get their shit together and start adding stuff again, because it's just that was always it, is just waiting for that Poloniex ad. And I was traveling when Stratus got added to Poloniex, so it's one of those situations where I really could have caught. But then again, and it's like in the amount of time it would have taken to transfer it from Bittrex to Poloniex and to catch the wave, who knows.
Yeah,
but it was always magic whenever something got launched on Poloniex. It was just like free money just raining from the sky.
Yeah,
but I don't know what's up with Bellacoin. I know that they were talking about implementing not Lightning but Dark Wave, I think. But they were talking about implementing something that's supposedly better than SegWit. Bit Crystals and Spells of Genesis, they were supposed to finally be getting off the ground.
I love Spells of Genesis. Have you played it at all?
No, I haven't. I really should.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty simple, but like it's still very rewarding gameplay, I guess. Like every day I pretty much go on there and try to use up my because I guess they have like a meter for like how many games you could play, and then it like refills over the day. But I pretty much run through it every day and play a couple games. It's kind of at a point right now where I think the map is done. Like I've gotten the maximum amount of stars on each of the little levels, and there's like clouds above the top of the map, and I think they're gonna like eventually add more levels, but right now I'm kind of at a stagnant point where all I can do is really accumulate gold and buy more cards.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Glad that's actually, because I mean, apart from it being built on the blockchain and cryptocurrency, that's nice, but like, how's the gameplay?
Yeah, it's kind of fun. I like it.
Yeah, good. That's refreshing to hear. And on a similar note, there's both Digibyte and Databits with Augmenter's game, which, you know, was on the Australian Shark Tank, which is pretty cool.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. So Databits is definitely one to keep an eye on. If we're looking at things that are actually going to be used by people, then Augmenter's game and Databits, that's on Bittrex, DTB.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from that...
And Digibyte, actually, they might be a good one to buy now, because I think... I think they were like about double their current price not long ago.
I think they touched 3,000. I'm not sure, but yeah, that was a crazy run on Digibyte.
Yeah,
and I sold at the top, and I didn't sell everything. I probably should buy a little bit back in, because that seems like something that's going to go back up.
Yeah, same with SiaCoin. I think they're.
You know, I just recently refilled on that because I heard a lot of really good things about it. So I had that and then scalped and was totally in profit and then sold a little bit more and then it settled and I bought a bunch more. So again, that's another one of those things that I'm trying to fill up on in terms of long term. So I do hear good things about them.
Yeah, so. And it looks like Quantum Resistance Ledger, QRL, is... might be a good one to buy. It maxed out around 90,000 satoshis. It's now at like 43-ish. It's on a definite downtrend by the looks of it, but it looks like it might be ready to pick up again a little bit.
Yeah, about like 24 or 70, because it just listed, didn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't. It's not very old.
Yeah. I think that's like standard. It launches and then it pops and then settles for a bit, and that's a good time to buy usually if it's going to go back up.
Yeah, it might go back down a little bit, but like even more. But I don't know. I'd probably put in an order around 35,000 satoshis or so.
That sounds safe.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm actually going to do it. So anybody listening, you know, don't feel like you absolutely have to or anything.
Yeah, as always, do your own research, do your due diligence, you know, just like any investment.
Yep.
Yeah, like it's just you're really only as smart as the research that you do and, you know, the amount of information you have behind each decision. Which isn't to say you can't get lucky.
Right.
The other last one I did want to mention was Koval. Obviously a lot of people have been mentioning that lately, and it is doing some pretty good things. And you know, this is something that I had tweeted back a while back, and I guess I'm still waiting to see if it pans out, but like I heard from a guy that knows a guy that something was supposed to happen with Clubcoin.
Oh really?
Yeah, I think BitClub's trying to do something with it. I don't know. Again,
wait,
it's one of those. That's on Bittrex.
CCB? No.
No, Club.
Oh yeah, what's CCB?
And it's definitely on
something else.
serious downtrend.
Yeah.
Yeah, from 90,000 to 12,000.
Oh,
yeah. So serious downtrend. But I heard some rumblings from someone that knows someone at BitClub. So I just figured this is a thing that I heard. I tweeted out with a caveat. Obviously, you know, this is just a thing that I've heard. But you know, if for some reason it pops off, I get to say that I heard it.
Yeah. So what do you think sparked that downtrend?
I'm not really sure. I think that they, because I know that they announced it and had like a big press release for it, and then just like the usual lack of interest, lack of momentum, just no developments with it. But I think also in terms of making their investors happy, I think they're trying to push some life back into it. Yeah, because look at that, when it launched on Bittrex, these tops are always weird on the launch because you never really know like how much of that actually went through in a full order or not.
Yeah, exactly.
Topped out at like 0.012, and now it's, you know, a fraction of that, 0.0001199. So I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen? But it's just a thing that I heard, and no one else has been talking about Clubcoin at all. So I don't know. But actually, right, there's actually some bids coming in right now as I discuss it.
Oh, they must be somehow hacking into Skype.
Something. Yeah.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah.
Yeah, 12,080, 12,081 on the bid, 12,082. Look, they're going up right now.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Not many huge orders, but
no.
There's like a couple for around a Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll throw in a. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am going to do a live trade on air. I'm gonna put in a little order, see what happens.
It's going up right now. Look at that. 1284, 1285, 12,084, 12,085. 12,084 just disappeared. 12,086. Something's happening. I don't know what's going on.
I'm
going
to just
12,088. All right. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Right, and on that note, I'm going to go on over to Verge.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Another shoulda, coulda moments. I should have bought way more when I did. I bought it 4 Satoshis, man.
Oh, really? Like, yeah.
Just absurd.
Yeah, I wish I had bought... I did. I used to have, I think a couple million at one point. Because I got in right when it was on the ground level of 1 Satoshi. I remember... I think buying some with Litoshis because they weren't even a whole Satoshi.
Oh, wow.
on CoinSwap, which we talked about last week.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, man, to have gotten Verge for a fraction of a millionth of a Bitcoin.
Yeah. That would have been amazing.
Oh, boy. Right, talk about being a whale.
Yeah, right.
Bittrex needs to update their logo, or I need to refresh. No, I think, they need to get the new logo up there.
All right, I placed my order.
Great.
I'm going in at a perhaps egregious 12,000 Satoshis. Just a little bag, just to see what's going on. I feel
just a little bag.
Yeah, you know, little something-something. I feel like...
So the question is where it's going to be between now and when this podcast comes out, because the orders are climbing right now at 12,085. So let's see where it's at when this actually comes out. Right. If we're up, then something's happening. If we're down, then we just got lucky.
Then you'll probably get more tweets asking for other
picks. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, because I bought on June 6th at 10,880. And it's 12,086, so something's happening.
That's pretty good. That's like a 20% dinger.
It's going up. Yeah, because I actually... Yeah, I bought right before it hit the bottom, and now it's starting to go back up. So that... And
it's also a coin that's been around a while. Yeah. I believe so, right?
Yeah, so, I mean... CCB? Since
it launched on... Oh, no, it's not CCB. Why do I keep thinking it's CCB?
Yeah, it hit on Bittrex 12/17/2015, and that's when it hit that 0.012 sell order or buy order. Sell order, I guess. And then down from that, down to now, we're at 12,000.
Yeah.
But going back up, I mean, some might look at that chart and say that's all been consolidation. I'm still versing myself on all the terms and charting and all that fun stuff, but that's definitely... about as low as it looks like it can go.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, never say that.
Yeah, right.
How low can you go? Challenge accepted.
Crypto limbo.
Crypto limbo. Yeah, 12,093. Something's happening, man.
Yeah. Maybe I should have raised my order. No, I think I'm going to get filled.
You think at 12,000?
Yeah.
Cool.
I mean, there's 5 orders above me. 4 orders.
This is interesting.
I put it above... I put it above the walls.
Yeah.
So good call. Yeah, I could probably get it for cheaper if I was patient enough, but I feel good about that level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you'll be okay.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah, awesome. Yeah.
Good thing. So, let's talk a little bit more about your project.
Yeah. So. Since it has not been discussed, I'm a filmmaker. I made a little documentary back in 2005 called Loose Change. It was kind of a big deal at the time. Vanity Fair called it the first internet blockbuster.
Cool.
And I've just been kind of doing some similar things and some not similar things since then. The whole reason Loose Change came to exist is because I wanted to direct narrative feature films. So it seems like every time I'm getting close to doing that, I get swayed over to doing a documentary instead. So I'm just now wrapping up 3 years of production on my recent documentary, Black and Blue, which is a documentary I started filming in February 2014 about police brutality.
I like the name.
Yeah, it's you know, in 2014, it's interesting to start making a film about something that no one's really talking about, and then Ferguson happened and suddenly everyone was talking about police brutality. And there's like 10 different things that have come out since then that people have called Black and Blue. So I have a wall of titles to smash through, but it's fine. You know, I in a much smaller sense did the same thing with Loose Change because there were a couple of things that were called that, but mm-hmm. now mine, I think, is the one that everyone kind of associates with it. But yeah, you may or may not remember how long you've been living in LA.
About 2 years.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Where were you before that?
Connecticut.
Okay, so you probably didn't hear about this. Kelly Thomas, he was a homeless guy that was killed here in L.A., well, outside L.A. in Fullerton. This guy was beat to death by 6 police officers, and then they were found not guilty. Yeah, it was it was a big deal. It was on NPR, like, every morning, and I had an editing job out in Malibu, so I was, you know, listening to the radio every morning for, like, an hour. So I kept listening to the trial, and as it kept developing, and they kept reading back this one quote from the one officer, I and several others were like, there's no way these guys are going to get off. Like, they have to be found guilty of something. And then they weren't. So I went to this rally for Kelly Thomas in Hollywood, and I met an eyewitness to another police shooting, and his parents were coming down 2 weekends later, so I went to that candlelight vigil and met them. And then there was another rally, like, 2 days later. I went to that and met another family, and then it just kind of spiraled out from there. I interviewed George Thompson in Fall River, a guy who got arrested for filming a police officer. I arrested a DJ that got beat up by a bunch of off-duty DEA agents.
Wow.
Yeah, I interviewed a basketball player, a beat producer that you know, got falsely accused of a robbery and then couldn't get the not guilty expunged from his verdict or from his record. And then I got back to LA, and a month later, Ferguson happened. And that kind of somewhat steered the rest of production, at least in terms of the film that I thought I was making versus the film that I wound up making, because just before Ferguson happened, I wound up getting in touch with an ex-LAPD officer named Alex Salazar, who was kind of ex-cop turned private investigator slash part-time activist. And he had actually investigated an officer-involved shooting in L.A. So, you know, went to a vigil for that person, got in touch with Alex, interviewed him, and then a couple days later he flew to Ferguson. So I've got footage from the streets of Ferguson that was shot by an ex-cop. And then, you know, the rest of the film kind of follows up on the Michael Brown verdict, and then after that kind of cools off, it follows up with the rest of the people from Act 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was intense. Between just the subject matter and the process of producing a film basically all by yourself, and then editing it for a year and a half by myself, and just now doing all the final quality control and color correction and sound mixing, it's been a long three and a half years. So I'm happy to finally be handing it off to a distributor. I'm looking forward to maybe having a couple days off. That would be great.
So, yeah,
that'd be nice.
Yeah,
that's about it. I'm wrapping that up, and like I said, I was trying to get a doc about crypto off the ground. Maybe I still can somehow, but it would also kind of be nice to take a break. So if I can get some interviews here and there while I'm on the road, great. But if I can't, then I'm gonna try not sweat it.
Yeah,
and just, you know,
it sounds like a wild ride. I mean, the documentary or the documentarian lifestyle sounds like a really a fun experience.
It's interesting, and it really depends on what subject material you tackle, and, you know, what you attach yourself to. Because, I mean, me, I didn't exactly choose the most lighthearted subject,
right?
So, but then, you know, before that, I edited the gig in Malibu I was talking about. That was a doc about crop circles, and then before that I made a documentary about a guy quitting coffee for 21 days.
Hmm. Was that you or
no? That was I was living in San Diego. I don't know if I could ever go 21 days without coffee. Holy crap!
Right.
A buddy in San Diego. It was his idea. We were hanging at a friend's house, and he kind of mentioned it as a joke. He's like, "Yeah, I want to make a documentary called Buzzkill where I don't drink coffee for 21 days. And I was like, dude, that's actually a really good idea. We should do that. I have a camera. That's easy. That doesn't require a budget or really much of anything. And, you know, we talked about it and we thought it was a good idea, but then the holidays happened and end of year. And then, like late January, we were hanging out at the friend's house again, and he brought it up again. And I was like, and I think the Valentine's Day thing might've been something he came up with, but it was like, dude, Valentine's Day is coming up. Let's have you break up with coffee on Valentine's Day and see if you can go 21 days. So that's what we did, and it was I don't know. It's my quirky little film that I made while I was living in Ocean Beach and coming off of the loose change experience and not really sure what I was doing with my life. You know, I had moved to San Diego from upstate New York and wanted to make it to LA eventually. I just wasn't sure how I was going to do it. Mm-hmm. And just kind of finding my way. And making a documentary while I did that. So at least I, you know, produced something while I was doing that. So
cool. Where could people see Loose Change? I haven't seen it personally. I'd love to.
There's we're in the process now because there's been a couple different versions. We had one that was on Netflix for a while.
Oh, really? I thought I remembered seeing it on there, actually.
You probably did. Yeah, it was on the documentary section for a long time, but then our distributor went bankrupt and Netflix sent them a check and the check bounced, so Netflix canceled the contract. Yeah, there was literally nothing we could do about it. So but now we're with Journeyman Pictures. They're representing the 52-minute version of that film, so mm-hmm. they basically have until September to make whatever money they're going to make on that, and then in September we're going to put online on our own YouTube channel the second edition of Loose Change, which is the one that went viral back in 2006. Cool. And that's the one that, like, because every anniversary of September 11th, there's a bunch of people like, oh, you should go watch Loose Change. And, you know, all these, there's like 5-10 different YouTube channels that get all this traffic of people going to watch it. And, you know, it's like, no one's going to our site. It's not, you know, which is fine. Mm-hmm. It's like, but it would be nice not only for the film to A, be up in one place, but B, be up in like full HD and like properly restored and stuff like that, because it never really got properly released. I mean, we mastered it onto a DVD, so it'll be nice mm-hmm. to get it up in HD and get like a proper master of it. But only because, again, people just keep asking about it. So,
yeah,
like, we get to be able to say it's up and then, you know, move on.
Yeah,
but yeah. So you can either find there's tons online on YouTube, I think, still. The question is if you're going to find like an actual edition of it or something that someone might have cut together. Like, there was one guy, like, every year he'd like update the subject to be like 2016 new edition of Loose Change, and it's like, stop doing that. There's no new editions.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. So it's just a process of just kind of, you know, hone it back down to just our simple original versions of the film in full HD and free to watch. So
cool. You know, that might be a good candidate for the new mega upload that's going to incorporate Bitcoin.
Really? Mm-hmm. So that's what Kim's working on.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. It's
interesting.
Yeah. You'll be able to like pay for digital content with Bitcoin. You could like set it so that it could be like donation based, you know, pay as you want or,
great.
Yeah, so that might be
fantastic.
Yeah,
maybe I'll look into that. Cool. Great. Yeah, I'm glad he's kind of bounced back from the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Mega Upload, man. It was that back in the early 2000s and mid 2000s. It broke my heart when it got shut down.
Yeah. It's like LimeWire, you know. Like, it's just like Bitcoin now. You get to say that you were kind of part of this special no man's land.
Yeah.
You know, where before everything got clamped down on, you know, knock on wood, and hopefully that doesn't happen here, but I think the way it was designed, it's going to be a lot harder to.
Yeah.
It's like, especially like, I mean, if IPs are masked, I mean, there's really nothing you can do other than tracking down individual people and interrogating them and asking them if they have any cryptocurrency anywhere.
Yeah.
Because that's really it. Because I was thinking like, oh, well, you know, how are things tracked traditionally? It's like, oh, through IP addresses. So, but, you know, currencies like Verge that are masking IP addresses, you know, it's going to be tough for them to track.
Right.
So,
yeah,
I think that that's the other thing, is I think that over the next couple of years we'll probably see a shift towards currencies that are more rooted in absolute privacy. And, you know, Bitcoin will always be the big daddy, and I think all the liquidity will always be based on it, because, I mean, it's so weird, like, to see, like, you know, Bitcoin maximalists and like the war versus altcoiners. And it's just like, you do realize that it's like, it's beneficial to both parties. Like, there was a phrase I was trying to come up with and it eluded me, but it's like, when Bitcoin goes up, the value of altcoins go up, and people are trading altcoins to get Bitcoin. And it's just like, do you not see like what a symbiotic, that's what I was going for. It's a potentially very symbiotic relationship, and it always broke my heart when Bitcoin would go up and alts would go down because people were chasing Bitcoin, which I get to a degree, but it's the same thing as then you just buy those alts back when they crash, you know, or don't, you know, or at least try to get back in lower unless there is no lower. But you know, again, like trying to achieve that symbiotic relationship where the Bitcoiners and the altcoiners can finally get along and realize that, you know, not only are we all on the same side, but we help each other out. And here I am saying we, like I belong to either of those two.
Well, the
crypto landscape in general. Yeah. You know, like we should all be in this for the greater good and recognize that this is about democratization and you can't. Well, actually, I was going to say you can't have democratization by picking sides, but that's what our election is. So, you know what I mean. It's like we can't be eager to pick a war with the other side when this is supposed to be about not having sides. And it's like we have Visa and we have MasterCard. You know, it's called friendly competition. And as you know, as Sunrock said, like, you know, Bitcoin is not currently as efficient as other Litecoins right now.
That's true.
And I think that's great because all these other alternative currencies like Litecoin, Vertcoin, Digibyte, like they've all activated SegWit as a testing ground. And not only did their value shoot through the roof, but so did their transaction times. Mm-hmm. So what are we waiting for? That's the beauty of it is that other coins were allowed to test this technology and be like, all right, here you go. Here it's working on three other currencies and here's what it's done. So let's do this already.
Litecoin's really had a good few days,
man. I exited a long way earlier than I should have.
I still have a small bag.
Yeah, I got a bag too. I saw the beginning of the tips on like Friday. People were saying, oh, I think Litecoin's gonna have a really good weekend, and it was just starting to go up. I was like, yeah, I'll go long on Litecoin, why not? And I was going out with my girl for a couple hours, and I didn't want to be looking at my phone, so I just closed it out because I was already up like a decent amount, and then it went up to like, you know, it was like 0.016, 0.017 or something.
Yeah,
stupid like that. But I'm glad because again, it's like the whole point is to not be greedy.
Right.
So, closed it out. I made a little bit of profit, and I got to, you know, have some quality time with my girlfriend when I wasn't distracted by my phone. So it's all good.
Yeah, it's very hard to not constantly be checking your phone to see what's going on in the markets.
It's so hard. It's so hard, man.
So difficult. Yeah. It's
like I said, when I was editing Black and Blue and I got burnt out and I couldn't think about editing, I would just tab over to Poloniex and just watch the markets for a bit, put on some YouTube and just watch the markets.
Nice cup of coffee, just sitting back watching the markets. Yeah.
But it's not. But I know. But it's not just me. Like other people have done that too. So that's why. But that there's definitely something there. Other people are just as fascinated by it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fun to watch. Actually, I kind of enjoy it. I don't do too much on the side of like making spreadsheets and all that. But I know some people who do that. But It's fun to just kind of give it a cursory glance every once in a while, even.
just check in.
Yeah, just you know? a little see how things are doing, you know.
Yeah, it's always good to check in. You never know. You know, at any moment you could be either making a lot of money or losing a lot of money, so it's better to check in.
Yeah.
The shame, it's like, and I really love Blockfolio, but obviously there's no live update of portfolios, so that's really just obviously the one big. Is there an app out there that does?
There should be.
But then, of course, it's also that trust issue of giving people API keys.
Right.
Because, I mean, at least with, like, Poloniex Lending Bot, you can, like, whitelist IPs and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, do you use Poloniex Lending Bot at all?
I don't. I haven't really played with it.
It's pretty cool, and I was heartbroken for a bit because he had this big announcement on the front page that he was going to shut it down on August 1st, which I don't know if he was, you know, trying to bail before a potential chain split. But he did also say that he had like other, like he was working full time with other companies on other like crypto endeavors. So it could have been a combination. But basically, yeah, he had this giant message on the front page like, as of August 1st, the service will be shut down and this and that. And I was like, oh my God, this is terrible. I love my lending bot. that message just recently disappeared. And then he wrote back to the email. Because I emailed him when that announcement went up, and this was like a month or so ago, and he just wrote me back and was like, hey man, I don't know if you've seen, but I found someone to take over the site. So, you know, it's exciting. I don't know, because we started talking about lending and then I went on to that tangent, so I apologize where we were before that. But just talk about, I think, lending rates and stuff like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I well, there's actually, whoa, somebody put up one for 2%.
Oh, you know, the two, good. The, I don't know what's up with those, because those twos and ones I can never get to go off. I don't know.
I see.
I'm not sure what's up with those, but I can never get them. I think Poloniex just is still sorting out some issues.
I see.
But yeah, anything under that, if it's like, especially if it's like 0.1 or 0.2, I think I've got a 0.2 open right now. And I mean, great, you want to talk about passive income. I mean, you not only get the value of the Bitcoin going up, but you also get compound interest because you make Bitcoin on it and then it lends that Bitcoin out along with the original Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. So it just keeps growing. So it's great. It's a nice place to park it.
How exactly does it work? Do you just you put your rate on there and the amount that you're going to be lending, and then people just take the, like, what if they lose all your money though? Do they?
Oh, they don't. That's the beautiful thing. Okay. It's because they lend it out, and basically as they lend it out, they're offering their own as collateral.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So like, let's say I put out a loan if I put out a loan for 10 Litecoin for someone to margin lend with, not only do I not lose any of my Litecoin, but they're actually offering up their own Litecoin as collateral. So you get a percentage of Litecoin back. So it's great. I mean, like, let's say if you have like hundreds or, my God, thousands of Litecoin and you have it out for lending, I mean, you're collecting stupid amounts of interest from people.
Yeah.
So, and that's really the best way to do it. Bittrex, oddly enough, has a tab in their settings where there's a checkbox for margin lending, but you can't check it. It's uncheckable, along with fiat trading as well. So Bittrex is working on some stuff.
Yeah.
And if they actually get margin trading up and running, Poloniex is going to have a really hard time catching up.
Yeah.
And especially because, I mean, I love Bittrex's look, but I would love a night mode. And I would love a UI overhaul. I mean, between that and margin lending, they would just clean up, I think. Not that that's anything you can do overnight. You know, it's just like, hey, why don't you do this and do this? It's like, well, why don't you do it, jerk? So like, I'm aware that nothing happens overnight, and I'm not trying to nitpick. I'm just saying if X, Y, and Z happened with Bittrex's website, I think that they would really take off.
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely have some room for improvement. I'd like a little troll box on there, too.
Well, again, you know, like in the absence of Poloniex's troll box, and in the absence of Poloniex not having things and Bittrex having them, that would probably be another little check mark for them.
Yeah, because so. I mean, as they go away and everything, I mean, nobody's gonna know what the name of this podcast is about.
I know, you're gonna just, like, be the only troll box. People are like,
right?
What
the hell is this? I think Yobit still has theirs though, so that's good.
We got Yobit. Bitgrail has a troll box, just because that's pretty much the only thing you can call a chat box at this point.
Yeah.
What about... No, Cryptopia doesn't have one. And then I don't think 1X has one. Nova has one.
Oh, good.
Yeah, Nova's got one.
Good.
And I'm just recently starting to play around on Nova, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, you want to talk about, like, low-sat beauties on there. There's one that the... Like the Bitcoin Talk thread just popped up, and they're not even on CoinMarketCap. I'm pretty sure the developer does not speak English natively, because the thread posts are in broken English. But they have like a team of like five or six. It's Nobit, or like NOBT. I don't think it's Nobit. NOBT, or like it's named after like the oldest gold coin in history or something. But it's bouncing between like 3 and 6 sats right now, and it like just launched on there. So
oh wow, that might be one to look out for.
I would snap up some of that, because like I said, the team is like just now starting to really get organized, and they just listed on Nova, and Nova is like the first, you know, actual exchange to speak of, because it was on three others before, but then you like click those exchange links and it's hard for them to come up. So Nova's like the one place to get it right now. And they were working on CSEX. I think they had, because they had people going to the voting pool for that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, NOBT, that might be one to keep an eye out for. And I mean, it's at like I said, anywhere between 3 and 5. So it'd probably be good to snap some up just in case.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Also, I'm looking at CV2 right now, Colossus coin.
Mm-hmm, I got some of that.
Yeah, they're around like two sets. That looks like one. Given, I mean, they right now on Yobit anyway, they have like 32.8, almost 33 bitcoins worth of volume.
That's pretty good.
0% change on the price right now at two sats. So
yeah, there's giant walls on that, which is what made me slightly apprehensive. But I was just like, well, I mean, it's a 1 and 2 sat coin. I mean, that's what'll happen. So
yeah, there's one like big buy order of 6 bitcoins worth at 1 satoshi. So with it only being 6 bitcoins and that amount of potential dumpers, you might want to throw in an order at 1 satoshi.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. It's 1. It ain't going any lower.
Yeah.
Well, knock on wood, but, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, things can definitely get into a place where nobody's buying it at 1 satoshi. That's happened to me several times.
Yeah, and then it pops, and you're like, oh, my yeah, God. Right. Yeah, and then, again, it's like, yeah, and no, you know, no, I'm trying to figure out how to pronounce this fucking thing. We'll have to get an official answer from them. But yeah, NOBT is definitely one that just listed on there. They're not in CoinMarketCap. They're just now starting to like sort all their tech and marketing stuff out. So it could be a good one to snap up now for, you know, if we're talking teams that are going to be around in the future and this one's just getting started.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. It's always good to keep an eye out for things like that.
Yeah.
Because those can really be the big winners. I mean, chances are there's going to be a pump at some point in time, whether or not it's real growth or what, you know, it's right. Going to happen. And, yeah, cause I mean, you either get people who invested too much and then they want to make something happen with it before they unload.
Right.
Or it's, you know, a solid project and, you know, you just happen to get lucky. Either way, it seems like a good move.
Yeah, I mean, you bet small on 10 and one pops and it pays for the other 9.
Yep, exactly. Yep, and you know, we see that happening over and over again.
Yeah, and exactly, it's like it's the market. I don't want to say it becomes predictable because you can never truly predict a market, I don't think. But, you know, it's just the waves and the cycles. I mean, it's always up, down, up, down. It's just a question of the magnitude of the up and the down, really.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I am far from an expert. It's just what I've noticed in my small amount of time in this space is just there's always a solid fluctuation. It's just a question of how far it goes in every direction.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So you think this is going to replace currency? You think that this is like the future of money? And like, I don't know, how far do you see this going?
I see it becoming the future of money. I mean, even before crypto existed, there was always references to like credits and stuff in like futuristic movies, so it kind yeah. of yeah.
I'm sorry. Please keep talking. But yeah, I say that all the time. I'm just like, you know, whenever you watch a science fiction film and like people are talking about credits and like scanning, like
yeah,
scanning stuff, like that's Bitcoin.
It is. It is.
That's Bitcoin. Sorry, keep going.
It is. And that's some that. It's like a self-serving prophecy. I think that's a term, is it?
Yeah. Yeah. Self-fulfilling
prophecy. That's correct.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. I'm glad you said that because that's exactly how I view it. I mean, yeah. it's future money, and this is basically one way of making an actual infrastructure for it is a publicly distributed ledger. It's fucking brilliant.
And I don't know exactly how far into the future this is going to like be the main you know, source of exchange of value, but
yeah,
especially with like current legislation trying to limit cryptocurrency pretty severely.
Yeah,
I mean the average coin trader probably won't have to make transactions over 10,000 or find a way around it or use dark coins or not. Dark coins. I always call them dark coins, but I mean like anonymous cryptos. yeah, so it's kind of tough to judge when it's going to really happen, but it will.
Yeah.
At some point. I believe yeah. it'll be within our lifetimes.
Yeah. Because and to me it really is just A, the degree to which it replaces it, and B, the I was going to say consequences, and I guess really that's ultimately what it would be the consequences of that. I mean, you take away the ability to tax, and you take away the ability of banks. You know, you take away a lot of the power structure in this country and a good majority of the world. So what does that look like? Like, what is a world without banks and a world without government having as much money as it does? Like, what does that world look like? You know, some would say it's a utopia, but, like, you know, it's, I don't know, because we need infrastructure. We need roads. Mm-hmm. Like, we need all that stuff. And to a certain degree, I suppose, we need defense. I mean, there's countries like Costa Rica that don't have an army, and I don't remember the last time I read about them being invaded, but they're also not a major world power, so, like, I get it. I get, like, the desire to protect ourselves and the need to pay for it, but obviously the amount to which our military spending is spiraled out of control, especially with this recent president. It's frightening to me. It's frightening and a little concerning to me how much money is spent outside of things that we as people actually need, like food and shelter and infrastructure and clean water. Like, these are things that are going to be like a real problem in the future, and we're spending all of our money on killing people instead. So, like, to me, that's like, you know, not to go anarcho-libertarian on you, but I mean, like, that to me is kind of part of the equation, where it's like, what happens when we all start using Bitcoin and we all start using cryptocurrencies and we're all exchanging money between ourselves? Like, what happens then? I mean, they tell you need to declare how much cash you make in a year because they have no way of actually proving it. So what happens when your money is 12 words in your memory and you just are really good at convincing people that you don't have any?
It's true. And so it's really, it goes down to basic human fundamentals. Like, you should have the right to withhold, you know, your worth, really. I mean, it's
like, yeah, should the Fourth Amendment apply to money too?
Right. I mean, we're all animals, you know. You don't, like, if this is kind of a weird analogy, but say there's like a hermit crab with like a crappy shell, and then a hermit crab with like an amazing shell. It's their right to that shell. You know, they don't have anybody telling them, you know, what they can or can't do with it, or how much they owe based on how much nicer it is than somebody else's. This is a really weird analogy. I don't know where it's going really, but I think it kind of makes the point. It's crypto kind of gives back that kind of basic animalistic, like, right, like, not governed by, you know, the government. And it's not something you really see anywhere else in our current state of the species.
No. No, not quite.
Yeah, it's like outside of the confines of law and everything, or at least it should be.
It is
as much as you want it to be too, because if you use like the anonymous cryptos and stuff, like, the world doesn't know how much value you hold, which is I think that's really cool, because we're in an age where you know you can't cross borders without, you know, being allowed to, when it's, you know, it's just, it's our world and we're an animal that lives on it, and we can't, we're so limited, you know.
Yeah, and again, there's a point where we're just going to kind of hit the wall in general in terms of the way things are going right now and the way things can continue to go sustainably. And I think we're fast approaching that point where we're going to have to make some kind of a decision. You know, how long can the old system survive versus how soon can we switch over to the new system before the old system kills us? So
yeah.
And, you know, to me, this all is kind of part of it. And that transformation, you know, it's people describe it as like a transfer of wealth. And I think that's exactly what it is. Like,
yeah,
things are changing. And, you know, it's changing. Like people, I think, really, by and large, recognized it with the Occupy protests. I mean, whatever you think about the movement's kind of decentralization of leadership and, you know, their approach, you know, to their actual physical approach, which was just camping out places. I mean, the ideology behind it was solid.
Yeah.
You know, like what it was they were trying to say, although some would say that they weren't saying anything. It was clear if you read like their declaration that, you know, the central leadership of Occupy was that, you know, we need to change the way money is run in this country and in our world because it's gotten a little bit out of control. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a message that a lot of people can get behind. So that, you know, and Occupy happened just along the time when Bitcoin was starting to get off the ground.
Yeah.
You know, 2010, 2011, and, you know, Bitcoin Pizza Day is in May 22nd, 2010. So it was right around the same time where people were starting to recognize a new way of money that people were sleeping in the park in New York and saying, hey, this is fucked up. Things need to change.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I really regret not going down there. I had some friends who were part of Occupy, and they thought it was a really profound experience.
Yeah, the protests up in Oakland got a little bit crazy.
Yeah. And
people got tear gassed and shit. it was nuts.
Now we're having like things like the Resist March, which I know are, you know, kind of central to different things that they're fighting for. But yeah. It kind of has a similar flair, like, you know, peaceful, just kind of recurring protests that, you know, are standing for what they believe in, and it's good to see that kind of sentiment in amongst American citizens.
Yeah, there's definitely like a shifting consciousness going on, whatever exactly that means. Something's happened.
Yeah,
you know, and something continues to.
When you see things like that, that also could mean things for Bitcoin. I mean, because once you get people resisting and you know, fighting for what they believe in, that kind of mentality kind of fits in with crypto, and it could play a part in it. Like, it could fund different meetups for them and stuff, just make it easier to you know, organize things.
Well, look at Venezuela. I mean, look what happened over there, and the fact that they're, instead of trading gold and silver in the streets, they're trading Bitcoin.
Yep.
I mean, prime example right there of a country whose economy, you know, was shaken to its core, and the people had a solution in the form of Bitcoin.
Right? Yeah, it's like, a safety net for the world.
What, like, what better proof do you need? I think I read like another story about a guy, like, the same basic thing, like, just needed to send money back to his family and couldn't. So I don't know, or well, couldn't until Bitcoin came around. And again, it's like it's a transfer of wealth across state borders, across all borders. It's simply a transfer of wealth, period. Yeah. It doesn't require a bank, it doesn't require a social security card. You know, people that can't even prove who they are can own Bitcoin,
right?
Like, that's incredible. Like, you can essentially have your own bank account without being able to prove to anyone who you are. That's amazing.
Yeah, it is. It's
you can choose your currency. You have several to choose from at this point, you know?
More
than several, with varying degrees of use cases and anonymity. Like, it's the democratization of money. And, you know, it's just now a question of which ones are going to be around and which ones aren't.
Yep. Yeah, and I think it's becoming a little more clear which ones are rising to the top. The cream usually rises to the top.
Yeah.
I mean, well, Litecoin's obviously not going anywhere. Any of the oldie but goodies. New ones, regardless of their technology, there's always more room for a chance that they might not survive into the later years. But there's some solid coins out there that have been around for a while and, you know, are still going strong, especially in these markets.
Yeah, and that, of course, is the same thing with this market that you have to be wary of, like, which coins that are being pumped right now, like you said, is organic growth, and how much is just, oh, well, shit, this hasn't pumped yet.
Right, you know, like, yeah, exactly. People just, like,
people pecking around for triple and double-digit Satoshi coins, you know, which I confess I've been doing lately, too. You know, I've picked up some Moon, you know, I've picked up some other things just because I can.
Yeah, right.
It's nice to be able to say that you own like a couple thousand or a couple million or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice to feel like a whale.
Yeah, right.
And you know, God forbid if it does like go up to some absurd degree, then you know, you have some money to play around with and you can, you know, spread the wealth. I mean, to me, that's always why I've wanted to be rich. It's not to be rich, is to spread the wealth.
Yeah, the philanthropy, you know? Or philanthropy aspect.
Yeah, philanthropy. Yeah, I mean, and again, it's like if you have it and if you keep making it and if you invest it and it keeps growing, like why not just keep giving a little bit out?
Yeah. You know? And it's always been fun to like tip crypto and stuff. Like I remember I did a little thing with the New York Fashion Week.
Oh, cool.
Thing. Yeah, and I ran a bit what was it? Coin change tip.
Oh, cool.
I worked with Change Tip to provide like a booth to like basically just give out Bitcoin to people. And it was really fun. There were a lot of people with questions about it. People had heard about it. It's a little strange fashion being mixed with Bitcoin, but it kind of worked in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a strip club in Vegas. I mean, their coin is listed on Bittrex.
Oh, really?
One of those things where I saw it like bubbling on Twitter a while ago, and now it's listed on Bittrex, and I probably should have gotten some.
They have their own coin?
Yeah, it's called Legends.
Oh, I've seen that.
Yeah, it's, see, exactly.
Yeah.
It was just a strip club in Vegas, and now they've got their own cryptocurrency. What's it at?
And they don't have to pay taxes on it? Is that?
No, I don't think they do.
Because they're in Nevada?
Yes, that is true. My goodness, look at that.
Cool.
Yeah, and they listed recently 0008, and now they're at 0006. Yeah, so it's actually still probably not a bad time to get some if you're going to. I still am not sure if I'm going to or not.
I would buy some if I was going to go there, that's for sure.
That's true.
Do they have like like QR code pasties or anything like that?
Oh my goodness.
Just like, boop.
That would be incredible. Not yet, probably, but soon. I think they're still accumulating. Still. Yeah. But
that's,
yeah,
cool.
That's and it, you know, it's like everything's got a coin now. Like you said, you know, fashion, and we were talking about land coin earlier, and now, you know, and yeah. Actually, there actually is a titty coin, like actual literal.
Yeah, there is one. I remember.
There's titty coin. There's anal coin. There's fist coin. Shit's just getting weird.
It
out
is
there.
Getting weird. But
someone posted. Who was it? I think it was like Ant, like News or something. Like pizza coin just pumped a while ago.
Nice.
Just like fucking pizza coin. Like what? What is that? What does it do?
Sushi coin.
Sushi coin, Putin coin, Trump coin, like Yobit is just like
Billary.
I confess, like I've sat there thinking about listing a coin on Yobit, just fucking pre-mine a couple million and just wait for it to pump. Just fucking retire off of a shit coin. I don't know how I'd feel about that though. I don't know. There's something not right about that.
There's something on Yobit that's up 800%. Let me check this guy's out.
Okay, I'm gonna log into my Yobit then. Let's see what's going on.
Let's
take a minute.
Yobit's kind of fun to play around on. I don't really hold much on there. Like at this point, I have 0.02 bitcoins on here.
Yeah, I have a very small amount on there.
But it's fun to like just grab a bag of some random thing sometimes. I have so much Yovi. It's really disgusting.
Yeah, I'm getting close to one of my orders finally going off.
I have 2,489 UVs.
That's a lot.
I bought them at like the last time it reset right at the bottom.
Oh man.
So like I didn't put any money into it, but imagine if I sold it at its current price.
Yeah, you'd be fine.
I'd be doing pretty good.
It's at 0.014, so
yeah.
Yeah, you'd be okay.
Yeah, I'd be doing pretty good.
But yeah,
I don't think I'm ever gonna get rid of them. I don't know.
No. Does anyone ever want to say that they got rich off of Yovi coin?
I would love to if I had the opportunity.
Okay, yeah, you're right. You're probably right. Yeah.
I've almost been tempted to like go into their troll box and be like, hey, does anybody like want to do an off ROM transaction to buy some Yovi? Because like,
yeah, right.
I don't know what to do with it, and I'm never gonna.
I don't even know if you can successfully withdraw that shit. I mean, yeah. Yobit is notorious for having shit that does not work.
Mm-hmm. I wonder when it's going to reset again. Like, I don't know when the ROM's going to reset. Because they did a reset, like, when I bought it. And it would be nice for it to happen again. Maybe I can, you know, find somebody who has, like, some kind of a bot that can just place a bunch of orders for me and I'll split the profit with them.
I
just wanted my Bitcoin out of it.
And that's like I'm getting close to one of my orders finally going off, so hopefully that does.
Yeah.
So, but and again, that's like I admittedly knew nothing about how that worked, and then read more into it. I was like, oh, okay, well, I'm gonna wait a bit then.
Oh, I knew how it worked too. It just, I actually the first round I managed to sell mine off, and then I used that just to buy more because when it went back to the starting point and. Yeah,
we'll see.
Hasn't done anything for me. Yeah, we'll see, right?
That is the ultimate gambling crypto site.
Right? Yeah, for sure.
Some say crypto is gambling, but Yobit is definitely gambling.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But, you know, hey, Gold Rush, fun times.
Yep. It's cool. Well, man, I think we're at a good point to wrap it up. I think this is actually the longest one we've ever done. It's almost an hour and a half.
Yeah, especially if you include that extra 20 minutes, we're almost at 2 hours.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we were both talking for quite a while before we actually started recording. So I'm glad we had plenty of stuff to talk about after that.
Yeah, no, that was great.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. And your turnaround's pretty quick on these. I mean, I assume you don't get too crazy with your edit. You just kind of give it a pass and throw it up.
Yeah, it depends on the episode. Sometimes there's more to edit than others, but...
of course.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, well, this has been great, man. Yeah, I really enjoyed
it. Yeah, thanks for coming on. And, you know, we'd love to have you on again if you want to talk about, you know, your projects again once you have one going on.
I'm mailing out the hard drive soon to the distributor. We don't have a release date yet. They're gonna cut a new trailer for me and all kinds of stuff, but I'm hoping it comes out around September, October. Awesome. Something like that. That'd be great.
That's great.
And Clubcoin is at 12,075. So that's the final check-in. So we'll see where it's at.
Yeah, let's see. That might be something that that I could do, like, just make, like, one live trade per episode and see what happens.
That'd be cool. Yeah, kind of lock it in time, like a time capsule of your trades. Right. Yeah,
but
so we'll see.
The government might know how much I hold.
Oh, dear. Well, just, you know, just buy, like, $1 worth, $10 worth.
All
like,
right, what? I've got a little bit more than that, but let's...
I know, you know. too funny, man. What a crazy time.
Yep.
Yeah, man, this is great. This is a good show, and I wish you all the best.
Cool, I appreciate it. And to our listeners, happy trading and profits to all, as always. You can find us on Twitter at Trollbox Podcast. You can find our friend Dylan here at I am Dylan Avery at I am Dylan Avery.
Yeah, I am Dylan Avery on Twitter. Should be easy to find me.
Cool. Do you have like a website or anything?
I do. Also, iamdylanavery.com.
Cool.
And that's got music videos I've done. There's actually the coffee documentary I just recently, because that came out back in like 2011 when YouTube was 720p and couldn't allow uploads longer than 15 minutes. So it's now up in 1080 in full length and is able to watch again. So that's pretty exciting.
Sweet. Sweet. I'll check it out.
Yeah, should have some black and blue stuff coming up there and all kinds of stuff.
Nice.
Hitting the road soon this year to film a bunch more. So,
cool.
Good stuff.
Good indeed. And so hit us all up. Follow Dylan. He's a cool guy, as you can tell. And we'll see you next week. Adios. Cool.
Peace out.